This is the Shape America podcast, hosted by Colin Brooks
and Matt Pomeroy, making 50 million strong by 2029.
Welcome to another episode of the Shape America podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Stephanie Sandino. How's it going, Steph?
Hey, everybody. Day two. We are rocking and rolling here, but we've got a special, awesome panelist guest lined up for you.
Yes.
I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Yes. A live panel. We're not privy to this usually. We're usually talking over Google Hangouts that sometimes freeze, sometimes don't. So we're happy to be doing it live. So first of all, we just finished a gamification session, myself and the rest of the panel here. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and then we're going to get started on today's topic.
Hi, I'm Mike Giannicola, Phys Ed Depot on Twitter, and been teaching for 21 years and tried gamification for a few years now and absolutely love it. So that's why I've been involved with this.
Yeah, hi, I'm Ryan Armstrong. I am a K-5 elementary physical education teacher in Columbia, Missouri. I really enjoyed presenting with these guys and felt like there's some, the team's got some good takeaways, and you can find me on Twitter at rarmstrongpe.
My name is Adam Mullis. I teach in Columbia, South Carolina. I teach 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Tried gamification for the last 2 or 3 years. And you can also find me on Twitter at @P_Mullis.
Well, they just presented, so if I can speak for myself, I thought it was a great presentation. We were just talking about, like, how do you think we did? I was like, I think you guys did fine. And they did a really nice job with leveling everything out, starting from the get-go on the intro of gamification and slowly layering it on from there, getting more and more complex with each of the presenters. So pretty cool. I know Mike mentioned how he got started with gamification. How did everybody else get started with their journey in gamification?
This is Ryan speaking, and yeah, I just kind of picked it up as teaching. I don't know. I just like I've been a gamer pretty much my whole life, so leveling was a big thing for me growing up. And I think it just really relates back to the progressions and of just scaffolding activities where giving students that ownership of their learning, and I think that's just a huge part of gamification.
My journey started with honestly just trying to get every single kid engaged. Most of the lessons I did for gamification, 75% would be on there. But I wanted everybody, and I wanted to do something different to try to get all kids, or at least most kids, engaged and excited about both PE and health.
Yeah, and, you know, me, I actually, you know, for whatever reason, just really, something about gamification really spoke to me as far as student engagement. I thought it was really fun to me personally. I don't play very many video games, and I'm going to let Mike in a second kind of define gamification for us, if he doesn't mind. But yeah, just something about it spoke to me, and the kids were really pumped, and just opened up this creative, like, place for me to be and create different things, and that's really important to me as a teacher. So, Mike, can you tell us and tell our listeners here how would you define gamification?
Yeah, definitely. I want to say first that it has nothing to do with technology if you don't want it to, and it certainly can. But really, gamification is just taking the cool, fun, enticing, kind of even just parts of video games that are really fun, the psychology behind it, and just applying it to education or in business, which it's in all of our consumerism. So you take those really awesome parts that are make video games loved by everyone, and you apply it to something else. And in our case, it's education.
Cool. So you mentioned that it doesn't have to be tech. So what, take us through kind of like a progression? What would it look like? For example, California teachers and as well as Florida teachers, very limited indoor space, no gyms, to someone that might have a gym. What could the progression look like for something really simple and then taking it up a notch to something that could be potentially tech heavy?
So for me, I started off by writing levels for jump rope on a whiteboard and maybe five jumps to beat the whatever level you want it to be. It could be military rank, it could be ninja belts, whatever you want it to be. You can just put level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so there are many goals, many targets that the kids are trying to get to. If you have a whiteboard, you could do that. You could print out on paper. If you have something to tape it to, some kind of a surface outside. Obviously, everyone has a different situation, but if you have a whiteboard, it's ideal just to do it that way. I personally use a projector a lot, but I know a lot of the folks outside don't really have that possibility. If it's possible to get iPads outside, you could try that with you know, waterproof cases just in case. There's a lot of options out there. That people can bring maybe even Chromebooks outside. It doesn't have to be even online, a lot of it. So it's not a lot of experience I've had with that personally, but I know other folks that have had to do that.
When I first saw all that was out there with gamification, I was definitely overwhelmed. So I try to keep the model, you know, keep it simple. So a whiteboard, a marker in different levels, just taking different tasks that you would do, for example, in a PE setting, and then trying to think what would be the easiest thing and the hardest and what would be in the middle. Plagnets were definitely a game changer, thanks Mike, because then they actually had something to move across those levels, and I haven't even gotten to the part where they're like numbered. And what I mean by that is each kid just kind of grabs a random one, and it's a really easy tool for me to see where they are because I can see what at different levels. Moving into the health side of things, basically just seeing what I would want over an A, if you could think of it like that, and then what they have to get done and try to level out like that. So really I'm just taking a lesson that I would normally do and trying to put it into different levels to challenge students in different ways. But like Mike said, it doesn't have to be overly complicated. It doesn't have to be extremely time consuming. It can be simple, and just adding simple game mechanics more fun for students.
So Ryan, you know, you've done some, let's maybe talk a little bit of some specifics here too with you. Like, you've done a lot of ninja themed stuff. Can you kind of like, what was kind of the breakthrough for you? Like, what did you notice when you started implementing that? Can you explain like how some of your activities work as well?
Yeah, so I'm big on the growth mindset, and the ninja belts kind of came to life from that exact concept. Just looking up karate things, karate belts, and ninja type style things, knowing that that system was just a cool way to kind of level up and to engage students. And ultimately, that's what I'm trying to do, is engage all the students to have those maximum opportunities to participate in PE. So that's kind of how the ninja belt started. And then, like, each one I had a detailed description of how it all related to the growth mindset and the model of karate. But before that, I actually did a lot with the badges. So I had a very small class size, so it was pretty manageable for me to do. And it did take a little bit of time at first to create the badges and things. But to me, it was all about that student engagement that I seen from it. That just kept me motivated to keep doing that. And it all really kind of started with the military badges and the fitness club program that I did my first or second year, where I had just found some graphics online and just made some badges out of it, printed them, and students can, you know, color them and add them to the poster boards. So that's pretty much what I have on it.
All right, so
pass around the mic. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, so Colin, you completely leveled it up. And if you don't know Colin, he likes tech. Can you explain your love of tech and how you've kind of taken it up a notch, and the kinds of software that you use, or programs or apps that you use to create that kind of enriching experience, but also like super cool because it's honestly like almost Pokemon Go status. So if you want to talk about a little bit of that, because I know you did some cool stuff in the session.
Yeah. So just to let everyone know, like first of all, yes, the technology piece of it was just something that I'm personally passionate about. So that was just seems kind of like a natural fit with gamification and kind of exploring technology and the ways in which gamification can work within that. I dabbled in something called augmented reality for a while, and sometimes these companies or these platforms come and go, but there's this one called Metaverse. It's continuing to grow, and they're really focused on educators. So Metaverse is basically a design studio that lets anyone develop an augmented reality experience through just a computer cloud-based design studio. So as an example, I mean, augmented reality, we have what we call an overlay. So if you're familiar with Pokemon Go, all the Pokemon creatures, right? So, yeah, they're the overlays, right? And the Pokeball, right? So that's an overlay. So what Metaverse essentially lets you do is it create an experience similar to that for your students, or what, in my opinion, is more important when it comes to like inquiry and understanding is that they can create their own experience, and they can have the ability to do that using this design studio and, you know, fourth or fifth graders. And this is free for everyone. So today's experience that I shared with everyone, a little alien basically told everyone to do some different physical activities and took us through some different physical activities. And then one of the pieces was the alien let us choose, you know, which activity we want to do. So we added in some choice. So if you were designing this, if you're listening to this and you're like, what is he talking about? So basically, if you had a big poster board and you drew your app, you drew your phone in one piece of it, it's like a big storyboard. So you could draw a picture within your phone and what you wanted it to do. And then you draw an arrow to the next phone and what you want it to do. And it will program it for you like that. So it's just a drag and drop design studio that allows you to create these gamification experiences for students. So, hey there. So that was pretty fun. And yeah, I hope that some people reach out to me and you know, consider doing that with their students. And it's hard. I could talk to you for an hour straight about the different things that you can do on Metaverse. But for instance, you could use a GPS tracker on it where it just opens up only when you're in a certain location, so thereby making your parent, your students go to a park and be physically active and earn some kind of something, you know, as far as a digital badge or something along those lines. So yeah, okay, I think I'm done talking for a little bit.
All right, so Mike, did you? I know you have ClassCraft. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that for a little bit. I know you kind of up your game in the technology sense as well, so I don't want to leave you out in that sense.
Yeah, not quite as deep as Metaverse and augmented reality, which is really amazing stuff. They have online options that are pre-built, like ClassCraft.com, and they could create, it's basically a medieval fantasy world, and the kids can choose certain characters, like a healer, a warrior, a mage. And during class, you can give them experience points for doing things, and they would level up their character. They would be able to buy different outfits and pets and stuff like that at home. They really got into this. It was amazing. It had, in the beginning, some random events that would happen in class. Maybe one student had to have an option of singing a certain song or doing a certain dance for extra points if they wanted to, all an option. It could make a student choose between three songs that the teacher would have to dance to. It was a lot of fun in the beginning of class, and they really enjoyed it. During class, as they leveled up their characters doing our skills throughout the year, they would get powers like maybe being able to switch stations with somebody or choosing, having the option to have the teacher change the music once during class, and they really just ate that up. So it was a lot of fun. I have 40-minute classes, so it was kind of challenging within my time frame. So I only did it for a year, but it's definitely doable if people wanted to put energy into it. And the kids really just loved it, being able to log in at home and change their characters.
Awesome. So you guys had some pretty good questions during your session, one of which talked about modifications. We see a wide range of students. For example, in my school, they have no elementary PE. Elementary PE is taught by classroom teachers. So when my kids get to middle school, it's either they've got nothing, they don't know how to catch, they don't know how to properly throw, to the kids that play intramural sports, rec sports, competitive sports, so they're there and they know how to transfer those skills, and they're on. So it's, I mean, you get such a wide variety, and that goes for everybody. My school is just one example of a whole nation's worth of scenarios and situations. But I think the question was along the lines of, how do you modify this? We have, let's say, a set level, but if they're not there yet, how can we modify it and help them become successful? So that
about gamification is, when I'm planning to gamify, let's say, a PE lesson, I'm really trying to break it down as simple as it possibly can be. So normally, 98% of all children can be successful. Now, of course, we have those 2%, and for them, it's an individual conversation. It's, what do you feel as successful? What can we do to move you toward these levels? And just because you don't get to level 4 doesn't mean you're not successful, because you're doing the best you can do. And really, that's something I want to instill in children, that you have to stay in your own lane and do the best you possibly can be. That's the way I handle that.
And this is Mike. Also, what I really like to do is, as people have mentioned before, you modify equipment. If you're doing jump ropes and someone needs to use, let's say, a hula hoop instead, or just to jump over a rope on the floor that's not moving, you modify for those students. It's all about them and their individualized needs. You could do, if you're doing jump rope belts and they have to do so many jumps to succeed to go to the next level, it could be consecutive, it could be non-consecutive, so they can do it in multiple turns and mistakes, allow them to get there through mistakes, or even making it harder and saying, okay, if you do trick jumps, you have to do less of them. So it works pretty well that way, I think.
Yeah, I guess, you know, for me, when I think of gamification, I think of the fact that I like to design it around challenge by choice. Like, I want students to have the opportunity to essentially pick what they think is their best, and then make a goal that's based around that. I guess, for instance, just like one example I could give you is an obstacle course where basically I created these ninja badges where students could earn them, and they got to choose which badge they wanted. But they also got to, it was their self-awareness that basically helped them decide if they earned that badge or not. For example, there was a cardiovascular badge, they could earn. There was like a jump rope challenge badge. So those ones were physical, right, where they got to choose. But there's also an integrity badge. So just adding in a little bit of the affective domain, I think, is important too. And then from there, they get to kind of pick and choose what it is they would like to do. Just as an adult who would go to a fitness center or who would choose whatever activity they wanted, they have to choose, and they have to value physical activity at a certain level, right? And they have to choose that for themselves. So I think the whole thing for me was trying to instill that in them. And it works. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Like, it takes some time to set up, but once you have those resources built, I mean, the thing works. I mean, it's pretty amazing to watch. And I don't think it's something that, like, if I did it every week, I wouldn't have it wouldn't have the same, like, splash effect, right? But I think you put it in there, at certain times, and the timing is everything. Say, right after, or like in the spring, when things are crazy, like, and you need a big advantage. Like, okay, management's a little harder right now. What else can I put at them? But at other times too, you know what I mean. So it works, and it's pretty fun to watch how excited students get.
Yeah, I think in general, it's a very wholesome experience for students in the physical aspect, and even the cognitive aspect where they have to demonstrate some type of understanding of a concept. And then, of course, Vaughn just mentioned the affective aspect, so tapping into the emotional side. So all around, I think is definitely worth tampering with. And if you were to give someone one tip on where to start, how to start, or just in the process, what would you tell someone? What's just the one thing you would possibly say to a beginner or someone going through it?
I would say for a beginner, start with just simple levels. Just level one, level two, level three. You know, I've done a lot with just up to level five. And then as Mike was saying earlier about the modifications, like having a bin of different types of balls for like level one, you catch that ball. Like it could be even balloons. It could be, you know, soft balls, you got wiffle balls, tennis balls, and they have a choice of catching that 10 times. And then level two may be a striking task where they're striking something, and once again, having a variety of different equipment at level two, and level three may be kicking off the wall, and each of these to do 10 times to move up. So I think easiest way and how I've done a lot of my activities is just using a whiteboard or projector and putting the levels up there and having the students progress that way through it. That's why I would recommend to people one way you can start out with gamification.
Yeah, hey, this is Mike. And on top of that, you have to, everyone's got a different situation. Obviously, we talked about that, with people that don't even have classrooms necessarily. So it could just be on pieces of paper. Basically, we have a lot of resources made for people already that we've shared out and can share out. So you can take what we've made and use that for a while, and then you get comfortable and you want to create your own stuff. So you can also just take some of the ideas that we've had and kind of improved over the years, and then take it on your own and be creative and see how far you want to go with it.
Since I definitely feel like I am the newbie in this group, at gamification, I would obviously start simple. That's great advice. But I'd also try to gamify something, especially in a PE setting, that maybe they're not super excited about. The first thing that goes into my mind is some of the fitness activities we do, like, for example, push-ups. So how could you set different levels to motivate your students to increase their upper body muscular strength and endurance? And once again, it can be really on anything. Whiteboard is fine. And don't be afraid to fail. It will get better. You'll figure out what works for you. You can't steal exactly what Mike or Ryan or Colin does. You'll have to figure out what works for your setting. So keep fighting the good fight, and it's definitely be worth it.
I think for me, I think levels is a great place to start. It's, you know, pretty easy to implement. I think badges for me was a place that I was most interested in, and that was something that I wanted to see what would happen. You know, it was kind of an experimental thing, and there's a lot of that stuff out there, and you can just make a badge and see, you know, you can see how students earn it, and even, you know, you had to add in the complexity of the added complexity of a level, you know, that can be something else to consider. The biggest thing, just, I think there's a common theme oftentimes when we talk on this show, like, you know, whether it's like you adding an after-school program to your school or doing things like this, you have to start small, right? And you don't have to buy. I think people just get overwhelmed by, like, so you want me to do what now? I already do. I'm already overwhelmed. So it's just taking a small piece of something, implementing it, see how it works, see how your students react, and then take it from there. And don't think you have to solve, you know, save the world overnight. I mean, it just takes a lot of time.
Yeah. I think today during our keynote, Darren McDaniels emphasized being fun and being relevant, which is exactly what this does. It kind of just levels up the fun factor, which it's important in our classes in PE, whether you may agree or you may not. But I definitely think that the joy needs to be there. And the relevancy, I mean, something like Mike said in the session, Fortnite, Like, kids are excited about that stuff. Make it relevant to what they're surrounded by at this day and age so that they can kind of understand at that level. I know Ryan wanted to add in something real quick, or you good? Same. Okay. No worries. So yeah, I definitely agree, and I want to thank each and every one of you for spending the time after your session to talk on the podcast. I don't want to take any way more time, whether you are off to another session or ready to decompress from the session you just had. We truly appreciate it and your knowledge. I know all of us are on Twitter, so you can definitely catch them on Twitter. And then I'll just hand you guys the mic one more time so you can give them their handle on how they can contact you about gamification, or if they have any questions or need any resources, that would be great. But we truly appreciate your time here, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay at Shape Tampa.
Hi, this is Mike. So I'm at Phys Ed Depot on Twitter, and also I have a website, physeddepot.com, and there's a gamification page on there with a lot of links on where to go to.
Yeah, this is Ryan. I'm on Twitter at rarmstrongpe, and I've done a lot of leveling stuff this year and recently in the last 2 or 3 months. So if you just want some really quick videos, and I try to explain exactly how the activity works within the videos and a small description, if you just go on Twitter and search that my username, just click on media, and you'll have probably within the 20, 30 videos, probably at least five of them or more, or gamification ideas where I've used that exact leveling system as we talked about in this podcast.
This is Adam Mullis. You can contact me at P_Mullis, that's MULLIS. I'm really interested in gamifying health and health education, so if you ever want to chat about that, I'd be glad to. Definitely had some ideas in PE, and love to help you out any way I can.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, just call until you reach out to me if you want some information about Metaverse or anything else. But, yeah, I just want to again thank our panel. Thanks for putting on an awesome session. Ruby, that was fun, guys. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of the Shape America podcast, and we'll see you next time.